Well, good morning, church family. Y'all doing all right? So good to be here with y'all this morning. For those of you who have not had the joy of meeting, my name is Tim Johnson. I am the next-gen pastor here at Sherwood. And just excited because today we're continuing in our series called Good Fences. And to start us off, I want you to imagine with me for a second a young, inexperienced farmer. All right, this young man was involved in business for a very long time, and he decided one day, you know what? I want to become a farmer. And so he sold everything, and he bought this farm, and he went out, and he began to, he had this field that he needed to begin to plant. It was early spring, and so he knew it was the right time to begin to do this. And so he looked at this field, and he said, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to get started on doing this. And so he went inside, and that evening he picked up one of his favorite books, How to Farm for Dummies. And he thought, this is great. And as he started reading, he realized there was a really important thing that he needed to do. He needed to have a fence around his property. And he said, well, I've been going to church, and there's this bald preacher guy that's been preaching on these good fences. And he said, I need those around my life, so I guess really I do need them around my property. But he's never built a fence, so he goes out and he starts building this fence. And it takes a really long time for him to do so. And then he finally finishes it after several weeks. And he goes in and he begins to pick up his favorite book again. And as he reads, he realizes he needs a barn. Now, time out. If you're a farmer in here and you really don't need a barn, I'm this inexperienced person, all right? Like, I don't even know if that's like a real thing in farming anymore. All right, time in. All right, so he goes and he builds this really amazing barn. And his neighbor even comes over. But again, it takes a while. And his neighbor looks and he goes, that is at a beautiful barn. Can you come over to my property and help me build a barn as well? And so this young farmer, as he does, he helps his neighbor, and everything's going really well, and he's loving his neighbor well, and he is so excited that he's doing all this. But every time he walked past that field, he kept going, you know what, I gotta get to that. I need to get to it. But what ended up happening for this inexperienced young farmer is soon spring ended up turning into summer. Summer gave way to fall. And he walked out to the field one day. He reached down, he touched the soil. And with regret, he realized in that moment, the season for planting had come and had gone. You see, the tragedy of our make-believe story this morning is not that this young farmer did not have time to plant. He definitely had the time to plant. The tragedy was that he had a foolish perspective on his time. He treated time like it was unlimited. He kept saying, I'm going to get to that later. It's early spring, or I got time, I need to do this. And other things began to felt more urgent. And so he ended up, without even realizing it, resenting the season he was in. He wanted to do other things that felt more important than what truly needed to be done in that moment. And so slowly, without even meaning to, our farmer ended up drifting through the very season he was supposed to steward. And that, church family, is the danger of time without boundaries. Rarely does a life without boundaries feel foolish, though, in the moment. In fact, the way that a life without boundaries around its time feels in the moment is it feels busy. It feels manageable. It feels inevitable, like there's always going to be more time. But if we begin to look at Scripture, we will begin to realize very quickly that it will not let us continue to live with that illusion. Because Scripture teaches us what we see in our key truth this morning, that life is short. Your season is specific. Steward it with wisdom. Amen. Life is short. When you think about how quickly our life passes by in the moments when we compare it to eternity, life is short. But the season that you're walking through, whether you chose it or not, is very specific. And you need to walk through that with wisdom and with discernment. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open them up to the book of Psalms, chapter 39. And we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 6. We're going to start there. We're going to jump to Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. looking at verse 1. And then we're going to land this plane in about 30 minutes over in Ephesians chapter 5. So as we continue this series on boundaries, today we're going to be looking at, of course, the boundary of time. And my hope this morning is that we would begin to answer a really big question. How do we live wisely and also with intentionality in the limited time God has given us on this earth? It's a really big topic. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we're not going to cover every verse of Scripture on time this morning. But it's incredibly important for us to understand what it does say. So let's pray, and then we're going to dive into God's Word. Father, as we come in and we open your Word this morning, Father, would you just give clarity and wisdom? Would you teach us that life truly is short? That our season that we are walking through is not an accident, but it is specific. And Father, would you begin to continue just to teach us how to live wisely with boundaries that we learn to put around our time. So Father, would you guide and direct this time? In Jesus' name, amen. As it relates to time, I want you to understand, Scripture points out that everyone in this room is living from one of two perspectives. But my guess is that this week, when you woke up, not many of you began to think, what is my theological position on time? Like, that's my guess, is that that was probably not the thought. It was probably, kids, get your socks on. We need to get moving. Come on, let's go out the door. Or maybe it's summer and you're just like, I'm just going to sleep in. This is nice, all right? But either way, while you may not have thought about, okay, what is my thoughts on times, I want you to understand, your behaviors definitely adhere to what you believe about time. Because what we truly believe always shows up in our behaviors. And so our core beliefs, ultimately, I want you to understand, they are the things that shape what we do. They direct what gets our energy, what we seize our attention, and what we are willing to say yes or no to. And so Scripture wants us to wrestle with this question, am I living with a wise or a foolish perspective on time? So in your notes, we'll take a look at these. Here's the two biblical perspectives that we get on time. The first one is the wise perspective, and this is the perspective that Scripture wants us to begin to live with. The wise perspective says that it recognizes that life is short. It embraces the season that it's in, and it seeks to steward that season with wisdom. This is what the Bible is encouraging and pushing us to, is begin to actually recognize, like, okay, my life is limited. The season that I'm walking through is, this is what God has placed me and where he has me, so I need to steward this with wisdom. But unfortunately, Scripture is very clear. This is not the way that the majority of people live. In fact, the majority of people live with a foolish perspective on time. And that is that it treats time as being unlimited. It resents the seasons in, and it ends up just drifting through that season of life into the next one. So as we look at these multiple different passages today, I want you to look for these two perspectives within our text this morning. So let's take a look. Psalm chapter 39, verses 4 through 6. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. It says this, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth, meaning the width of my hand. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath. Even those who seem secure, those who feel like they got it all together, even their life is short. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain, they rush about, heaping up wealth, without knowing whose it will finally be. The first boundary this morning that I want us to begin to see is that you need to begin to see your time and recognize that it is short. See your time and recognize that it's short. Now, David, the writer of this psalm, I want you to understand, he is in the midst of an incredibly frustrating moment of life. And we're not really sure of the circumstances. Some believe it was right after his sin with Bathsheba. Others believe this is towards the end of his life. But either way, David is under incredible amounts of pressure, and he is surrounded by all of these people who are watching his every word. They're waiting for him to say or to do something that they can twist and they can begin to use against him. And so David is saying, you know, I'm just not going to speak. I'm going to remain silent. But his frustrations are just starting to bubble over in this moment. But in the middle of all the pressure, God in his kindness begins to show David something. He begins to reveal to David, David, your real issue is not just the people that are all around you. Your real issue is not the pressure necessarily that you're under or the frustration that is coming up because of your circumstances. God ends up using David's circumstances to help him see, my life is brief. My strength is actually limited. And my control is so much smaller than I thought. And what David begins to realize is God is revealing these things through his circumstances, is that if I do not begin to see my life rightly, I will waste my time wrongly. Because without a right view of life, we will waste our days reacting to the urgent instead of living with purpose and intentionality. And so that's why David prays in verse 4. He says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting life is. And David's not going through. He's not asking for, like, God to be like, how many more days, months, years? Like, he's not asking for a death date. That's not what David is asking for. David is asking God, God, would you reframe my mind and my way of seeing my life? So that I can begin to actually see how short my life is, so that I can begin to live it with wisdom, intentionality, and with purpose. Because you see, what David knew is what we need to begin to realize this morning, is that when you recognize that life is short, you stop wasting it on the things that do not matter. When you begin to see how short life is, we begin to stop wasting it on the things that don't matter. When you see that your life is but a breath in the span of eternity, or that it's just the width of your hand, the hand breadth, you stop giving your best energies to things that are temporary. You start living for the things of eternity. And that's why our first boundary is that you have to begin to see your time and then to also recognize it's short. But like we said earlier, this is not the way that the majority of people live. In fact, David writes about it in verse 6. He says, surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain, they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. David says, people are living like ghosts. They're moving. They're working. They're rushing around. They got busy, active lives, and they're doing this and that. But he says, the problem is this. They're living for all of these empty things. And because they are living for the empty things, they themselves too have become empty, like mere ghosts, like a phantom, pretending to be truly alive, but not truly living. And it's not hard if we look around to see this in culture today. All you gotta do is look around, you'll see people whose lives are completely chaotic. And they're not ruled or governed by the Lord, they're ruled and governed by jobs and hobbies, travel ball schedules, phones, entertainment, deadlines, the constant pressure to keep up. And so these people, they're busy. They've got lots of things happening. They're doing things. They got places to be. Their time is full, but they're not truly living. And the reason why is because they're spending their whole life chasing the urgent and missing the eternal. And this is why you and I desperately need to begin to pray just like David. Lord, help me to understand how short my life truly is. Help me to see how limited my time upon this earth is so that I can live every moment with wisdom, intentionality, and purpose. Because life is short. Your season is specific. Steward it with wisdom. The second boundary is this, is to name your season and accept it. Name your season and accept it. One of my kids' favorite things to do is to steal my cell phone. I'm sure it's a lot like your kids. But my cell phone, I want you to recognize, is very boring. It's not a very exciting thing. I don't have many like games or actually there's no games on it or anything like that. I keep YouTube on it. That's about the most entertaining thing you can do. But for the most part, I keep my phone bricked, meaning most of the apps are locked down for most of the day. And so when my kids do get my cell phone, about the only app that truly works is the photo app. And so they love it though. Like they literally the other day, they proved my point. They were at the Mexican restaurant and they were looking through the photos. And as they look through these photos, they love it because through the power of technology, my kids have the ability to see what life was like in a moment that they cannot remember. And it's awesome. Like they go through and they're watching all these videos of themselves and they were like infants and they get to watch little videos of them like being pushed in like the little cart and the dogs and everything else. And they get to see what life was like in our family. And to them, these are cute memories. Like they're fun, they're exciting, and like the kids love watching them. But for Rebecca and I, man, those memories hit different. Like we watch those things and we're like, that's a season of life that once was. That season has come and it's gone. Because never again, unless Doc Brown figures things out, will my kids ever be infants or toddlers. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of stuff in that season that I don't miss. Like I do not miss the sleepless nights or the blowout diapers. All right? Don't miss that at all. But you know what I do miss? Oh, man. I miss the sleepy Sunday afternoons. Oh, I'm going to tear up saying this. But I remember just taking them, and I hold them right here. And I rock them in the little rocking chair. And I had these lullabies that I wrote for both of my kids when they were born. I just sing and rock them. It was incredibly sweet. But listen, that season of life, those moments, they're gone, and there is no way for me to ever go back and to live them. In fact, we're in a totally new season of life. We call it middle school. And it's sweet, too, in different ways, I guess. But this is what Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 wants us to begin to see. It says, there is an appointed time for everything. Say everything. There is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. Solomon is reminding us, life does not stay the same. You are constantly going through different seasons of life. And he tells us, he says, you're going to have seasons of beginnings and seasons of endings. Of holding on, letting go, planting, uprooting, weeping, laughing, mourning, dancing, conflict, peace. And he lists so many more right there in the text. And what we have to begin to recognize and to see is that time is not just passing you by. Time is appointed. Time is not just, you're not just going and just on the ebb and the flow of just going through these rhythms of life. Time is appointed to you. And Solomon says, there's an appointed time for everything. Because God, I want you to understand, has built rhythms, timings, and seasons into the world that he's created. And many of us are in different seasons of life. Like, real quick, look down your row. No, seriously, like, go ahead, look, wave. You can wave down. Be like, hey, check out the people that are on your row. My guess is that the majority of you are probably in a different season of life than the very people on your row. Because there's some people in this room, you're in a season of parenting little kids, and let's just be real, you are tired in a place that coffee cannot touch, all right? Others of you, you're in a season of launching young adults out into the world, and so the house feels a whole lot quieter than you ever dreamt it would, or you're like, please, dear God, get out of my basement, one of the two. The others of you, though, you're in a season of caring for aging parents. And you are having to make difficult decisions that you never dreamt you would ever have to make. You see, some seasons of life will be enjoyable. And they're going to be full of laughter. They're going to be full of blessings, open doors, while others are going to be hard, lonely, and completely exhausting. But what we must remember is that God is in control of every season of our lives. And he can be fully trusted in the midst of it. And trusting God with the season that you are walking through begins by naming the season you are in. Because we cannot wisely steward what we are not willing to name. And that's where the danger lies for many people. Because so many people today are just not willing to actually name the season they're in. What ends up happening, sometimes without even realizing it, is they end up wasting that season of life, rushing through it, or they end up just resenting it altogether. And so you start to hear these people say things like, I shouldn't be here. I wish I was somewhere else. I just got to get through this. But church, that is not a wise perspective upon time. The wise perspective says this: Lord, this is the season that I'm in. And it names the season. It may not be the season I would have chosen, nor is it the season I would have planned. But this is a season you have appointed me to walk through. So help me navigate it with wisdom. This isn't in your notes, but it might be worth writing down. The goal is not to escape your season. The goal is to be faithful in and through it. The goal is not to escape your season. The goal is to be faithful in and through it. That's right. To steward it with wisdom. So as you trust God through the different seasons of life, I want you to remember, life is short. Your season is specific. And so the third boundary is this: to steward your seasons with wisdom. That's right. Steward your seasons with wisdom. The Apostle Paul, he writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And he goes on in verse 17 and says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Ephesians, I want you to understand, were living in this culture that was centered upon prostitution, but it was disguised as idol worship. It was a culture that was completely focused upon self and whatever pleasures you wanted, and it literally centered on this. And it was incredibly appealing to the flesh. And so Paul writes to these believers that are living in this culture. He says, diligently guard every area of your life. Be careful. Don't get sucked into the culture that's all around you, because the culture, he says, is foolishly wasting its time on all of these things that do not matter. And this was, of course, not the very first time that the Apostle Paul had to write these words. He'd actually penned something very similar just a few years earlier to the church that was living in Rome. And he wrote this. This is from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but I'm going to read it out of Eugene Peterson's The Message version. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, he says, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. But can we be real? The majority of us in this room, it is really, really easy though for us to become so well adjusted to our culture we fit into it without thinking. And the reason why is because we are not living in a culture that is telling us to deny that Jesus is Lord. We're living in a culture that's seeking to train us to live as if he is not. I want you to understand, church, it's the culture is trying to teach us that busyness, that's just normal. Exhaustion, that's just success. That distraction, you being distracted by your phone and all these things, is just completely unavoidable because that's just the world that we live in. Entertainment, that's your personal escape. It's cool if you begin to just scroll and do all these things and you begin to fill your mind with all of this stuff of the world. That's cool. It's fine because that's how you escape. That's how you numb out. Margin, don't worry about it. It's totally optional. And so I want you to understand, if we are not careful, if we are not carefully walking through these evil days, we too will slowly start to blend into the culture around us without even knowing it. And we will wake up one day and we will realize that we have become people who are constantly distracted by the noise of social media and entertainment. We will wake up one day addicted to overscheduled lives with no margin. We will be the people who feel pressure to do more, have more, to begin to be more and keep up with a world that never tells us enough. And this is why we need boundaries around our time. Because without spirit-led boundaries, our days are going to be discipled by whatever is loudest, easiest, and most urgent. And each day, we get a choice set before us to live foolishly or wisely with the time that we have. And so as you step into this week, I hope that you will remember that your life is short. The season that you are walking through is specific. So let me encourage you, steward it with wisdom. So the question becomes, well, how? How do we begin to do it? This is nice, this is good information, but how do we actually begin to apply this into our lives? On the back of your note sheet, you got a few questions you can begin to look through. But it all begins with naming your perspective. Name your perspective. Are you living from a wise perspective or a foolish one? Are you treating your days as unlimited, or are you treating your days as being numbered? Are you embracing the season that you're in or resenting it? Are you stewarding your time, or are you just drifting through it? What perspective are you living from in this moment? The second thing is to name your season. Where are you at right now? What season of life are you in? What comes with that season? What are the blessings? Begin to name the things. What are the blessings of the season of life that you are in at the moment? And then also, what are the losses in this season that you need to mourn? Because not everything about your season is going to be good. But also not everything about your season is going to be evil. We need to remember to accept both and to lovingly trust God with what we're walking through. The third one is this, is to identify the gaps and the fences around your time. Identify the gaps. Where are there no guardrails on my time? And by the way, this would be a great one for you as a couple to sit down tonight and do. It's going to be fun, I promise. All right? Because here's the questions I would love for you to ask your spouse or a really trusted friend. Where are there no guardrails on my time? Where am I overextending? Where am I numbing out? Where am I wasting time instead of redeeming it? It's kind of a fun one. Teenagers in the room, this is a great question to ask mom and dad. They're going to be happy to answer it for you. But begin to really like ask and be like, okay, am I giving too much time to screens, constant busyness? Are we saying yes to everything? And is there things in our life that we just need to begin to say no to and begin to slow down? Because we have to begin to make time for number four, and that is to build rhythms that lead to wisdom. If we're too busy, we're going to miss this one. And so begin to ask yourself, what are the rhythms that would help me walk wisely in this season? These are the fences that we've been talking about, a lot of them in this series. Time in the Word, time in prayer, Sabbath rest, intentional community, giving time to serve and to slow down. What are the different rhythms? What are things in your life maybe that you need to start saying no to? And for Mark Scardino's sake, it's not BBS this next week. All right. But where do I need to slow down? Where do I need to be with God? Where do I need to be with people? And where do I need to align my life with wisdom? And here's the beautiful thing, church. We have an incredible example of what this life looks like. We see it in Jesus. Because Jesus shows us what it looks like to balance busyness with prayer. The urgent with rest. And work with faithful obedience to the Father. And of course, we see so many more things. But don't miss this. Jesus did not simply model this life for us. He makes this life possible in us. And I want you to miss this. I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus did not simply model this life so that you could look at him and be like, that's a great way to spend my time. Jesus makes this life possible in you. Because it is only through Christ Jesus that we learn how to see our time rightly. It is only through Christ Jesus that we receive our season honestly. And it is only through Christ Jesus that you will learn to walk and to steward the season that you are in with wisdom. Because a life with good fences around its time does not begin with a better schedule or a more organized calendar. A life with good fences around its time begins with knowing Jesus. And so I want you to understand, if you're in here today, and you say, Pastor Tim, that's me. I know that I do not have that relationship with Jesus. I know that I don't know him. I came in here today and I've heard a lot about time. I've heard a lot about this. I want you to understand, for you to be able to live out these wise biblical principles, it starts with a relationship with Christ. And that's why you were created. You were designed and created to live in a relationship with God. But the problem, and you see it in your own life, is that your sin separates you from that relationship with God. And there's nothing you can do to fix it on your own, but God in his great love for you. Listen to me, this is the best news of all. He sent his son to pay the penalty for your sin through his death upon the cross. And after he paid that debt, he rose from the dead 3 days later. And he gives you life, the life that you are searching for and the life you've always longed for. If you will simply repent of your sins by placing your faith in Jesus. That's right. Yes. If that's you today, in just a moment, Pastor Seth and the other pastors are going to be coming up, and they're going to be right here at the front of the house, and they would love to walk you through how you can place your faith and your trust in Jesus this morning. But others of you in this room, you have been following Jesus probably for many, many years. But when you still look at your time, you recognize there's a lot of ways I'm spending my time foolishly. Can I encourage you this morning? Come and lay down the things that you have idolized over him this morning. Allow him to truly be Lord and to get to be the one who directs, who says, who gets to be the one who calls it. Because again, we can say and profess that Jesus is Lord, but our behaviors may begin to say something else. So I encourage you this morning. Come. You begin to do business with the Lord. So I'm going to pray for us and then invite the band up. Father, would you begin to help us to have a right perspective on time? Not just a right one, but a wise one. Would you guide us? Would you lead us? Father, would you just begin to, in this moment, if there's someone here that does not know you personally, Father, would you help them to come to know you this morning? And Father, for those who are in this room that have placed their faith in you, Father, if there is an area of their life where they are not walking in wisdom, Father, would you guide them back to surrender to you and to your lordship? So God, we love you and we thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.